This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. There are losses. There are understandable losses. There are not good losses. And then there are brutal losses. This would obviously qualify as one of the most galling, brutal defeats that you're ever going to have. If you're a good team and you fancy yourself as such and you've got your fan base re-engaged and thinking, hey, we're going to send those cowpukes back home to Dallas for an early stuffing, for an early mercy killing. We're going to get our eighth win of the year. We're going to break a 2-game losing streak. We're going to beat our chest.
You're lying.
Not making it up. I still can't believe it. I was there, and I still can't believe it. Somehow, some way, we have to try to be semi-positive, right? Here's that effort off the bat. They're 7-5. If I would have told you after 12 games, with one game remaining before the bye, that they would be 7-5, every last damn one of you, including myself, including Matt, would have taken it. Every last damn one of you. So that's the positive. The other positive is they almost pulled off another miracle. Not quite exactly a miracle, but they almost did. And that's about the end of the positives. Yep, that's about the end. Now, a lot of you are going to call in over the next 3 days because we ain't here Thursday and Friday. We have an NFL triple header on 980 on Thursday. I have no idea what's going on Friday, but we're not here. A lot of you are going to call in over the next 3 days and say, Chris, you're being too negative. You're happy about this. You're rooting for this. You're satisfied. Listen, guys, if you believe that, you don't listen. You don't pay attention. If you believe that, because I'm not happy. It is, you know, I had several tweets overnight, late night, last night. Hey, it's great for the radio show. Great for the radio show. It might be good for the radio show. Might be today. Might be because people are fired up. People are angry. People want to yell and scream and fire people and criticize people and say we're right back to the way we were and all that stuff. It might be good for today. It ain't good for tomorrow. It ain't good for Wednesday. It ain't good for anybody that fancies a good, strong playoff run. It isn't good, obviously, if you thought, hey, man, if things go right, we take care of business. When Philadelphia comes to Washington right before Christmas, we might have a chance to play again for first place in the NFC East. Listen, this is not good. There is no celebrating here. There is no, ha, 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 I told you so, I was right. Now, I did tell you to proceed with caution. I did say these next three games, meaning Dallas, Tennessee, and New Orleans, were not going to be as easy as people thought they were. I did think they would beat the Dallas Cowboys. Begrudgingly, I did, I have no idea why, pick them minus the 10.5 on Friday's show. I'll accept my part, accountability, blame, whatever you want. I did think they were going to win this game. And I did think they would win it semi-convincingly. I was never convinced that this was, you know, going to be a 42-7 blowout or anything like that. But I sensed that they were in trouble throughout the first half. I didn't know how the game would end, but I sensed that they were in big-time trouble throughout the first half. And if you were watching the same game I was, and I don't see everything because I'm very, very, very busy during the game. I'm doing live updates for Infinity Sports Radio several times an hour. I'm, you know, on standby, so I never know when they're going to go to me. You know, so I'm kind of working while I'm working. So I miss things, and I'm trying to furiously scribble in my notebook all sorts of notes of gibberish of what's going on and what I see and, you know, what I want to bring up on the show. But I, watching that game live, if you thought the first half was going well, you were watching a completely different game than me or anyone, I think, that understands football. There was never a point in time in yesterday's game where I was like, oh, they've got it. Oh, this is one step away from being over. There was never a point in time. Even as Terry McLaurin raced to the end zone. Because we knew they needed an extra point. Or we knew in the moment they were going to go for two. And the game was going to be on the line. We'll get to that in a sec. There was never a moment, even with the Commanders scoring first in the third quarter on a 17-yard touchdown run with a hell of a pancake block by Ben Sinnott off of a creative I formation, play action, pistol look and quarterback keeper. When Jaden Daniels scampers in for 17 yards and the Commanders take a 9-3 lead before they miss the first extra point, even then, I mean, while you felt reasonably okay, I don't know how anybody could have said the game was over or we've got this or it's done or anything like that. I don't know how anybody could say that. And immediately the bad news started again. with the first of two Austin Seibert missed extra points. Immediately. They scored, the Commanders, three touchdowns in that game. Only once was the elation, the joy of scoring, even remotely positive, 5 seconds later, 10 seconds later. And that was the two-point conversion after the Ertz touchdown, where Jaden obviously ran in the two-pointer off of, you know, basically what we've seen, a power right, student body right, whatever you want to call it. That was it. The other two touchdowns they scored, Seibert missed, obviously, the extra points. People forget, yes, he missed the one after Terry's touchdown, which cost them ultimately the game. And maybe they would have still lost, even if he tied the game up, with what happened afterwards. But he also missed the one after the 17-yard touchdown run early in the third quarter. And Austin Seibert's been great for the Commanders. Anybody that is ready to just kick him out, throw him on the trash heap, say, that's it, done, bad game, you cost us, Cowboys, blah, 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 blah. Stop. Everybody's entitled to a bad day at the office. You are, I am, Matt is, Austin Seibert is, Jaden Daniels is, Dan Quinn is, the defense is. We'll get to all of that. Let's just relax on kicking Austin Seibert to the street. I mean, maybe 25 years ago, me, Mr. Irresponsible me, Mr. Guns a-blazing, fire the cannons, fire everyone, I would have been like, oh, you know, stupid place kicker. Now, that being said, whether Seibert should have been asked to do what he did yesterday is completely debatable, and we will get to that. But I'm not ready to move on from Austin Seibert after one bad performance. And it was a dreadful day, about as bad of a day as you could possibly have. Yet, that being said, and this is what people are going to forget, he kicked a 41-yard field goal and, most importantly, kicked a 51-yard field goal late in the game, late in regulation, to make it a one-score and a seven-point game so that they had a chance. I put up a poll at WrestleMania621 a couple hours ago. You guys don't like me as much as you like JP Finley, as much as you like Grant Polson, as much as you like others. So I only got 247 votes, if I'm seeing this right. Let me rewind. Let me refresh, see if we can get some more results. But you know how things disappear very quickly on Twitter. 251 votes. Whoa. Big time. Who is most responsible for the Commanders' loss yesterday? In general, special teams is clearly and obviously and correctly leading the way at 47.4%. Dan Quinn slash coaches is second at 41.8%. I put Jaden Daniels by himself, and maybe that was the wrong thing, but I was running out of space. Jaden Daniels by himself, not Jaden Daniels in offense, only 5.2%. Leaky defense, 5.6%. So leaky defense has got a slight lead over Jaden Daniels. And again, I ran out of space, so I just put Jaden Daniels, obviously. The quarterback is not solely responsible for the greatness of an offense or the badness of an offense. But that's about kind of what I expected. I expected and I thought special teams would obviously rue the day. It was as atrocious from start to finish, even though there were a couple of good moments, plenty of good moments. I shouldn't say plenty. There were four good moments. There was, again, the 51-yard field goal, the 41-yard field goal, the blocked punt or the tipped punt that gave them great field position that they wasted, and the blocked field goal There was four great moments or four very good special teams moments. And here we are in the moment and less than 24 hours later after the carnage saying that might have been the worst special teams performance of all time. Think about that. Think about how absurd that is. That there were four moments that all of us can identify. 41-yard field goal, 51-yard field goal in a big spot. In a big spot. And the tip punt and the blocked field goal. And it may have been the most atrocious special teams performance we've seen around these here parts in a long time. And I've seen some bad special teams. I've seen some good special teams, but we've seen some bad. Right? We have. So, not surprising special teams taking the day. Listen, the bottom line is, when you make as many mistakes and have as many problems as they had on special teams yesterday, in general, clearly, if you are looking for your blame pie, clearly, if you're looking to point the finger at one unit, one side of the ball, one area of the game, clearly special teams let them down and failed them time and time again, despite the four good things that we keep mentioning. Then, Dan Quinn and the coaches, because a lot of you already want to move on from Cliff Kingsbury, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Well, not the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, because I've heard a lot of ridiculous things from this fan base. One of the most ridiculous things that I've heard. A lot of you want to move on from Cliff Kingsbury already. Dan Quinn, did he make the right decision? Down 28-27 and not going for two. Instead, going for the extra point, he immediately signaled it. It's not like he had to think about it, take a timeout, evaluate it. He knew what he wanted to do, and he explained it, and we'll hear his explanation coming up later on in the show. We'll ask Jay Gruden what he would have done in that spot. A lot of you wanted him to go for two. In hindsight, I don't know how many of you wanted him to go for two in the moment of euphoria, but a lot of you wanted to go for two after Austin Seibert misses the extra point and misses it badly. Bad snap, good hold, Tressway, really bad kick. And then, as if that wasn't enough of a kick to the nuts, right then and there, right, after the Kevontae Turbin 99-yard spinorama muff, missed angles, missed tackles, missed play, missed everything. Wanye Thomas runs back a flubbed onside kick for 43 yards. So the special teams, again, we know. But while that is really indisputable, what is arguable is how much responsibility Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury share in this loss. If you want to just leave it to those two, you want to say the coaching staff as a whole, fine. Because Larry Izzo is a part, special teams coordinator is part of that. So certainly could do that. Does Jaden Daniels deserve any of the blame? Is he responsible in any way for this loss? If you watch the last 5 minutes, you'd say, hell to the no. If you watch the first 54 or 55 minutes, you'd say, well, there's certainly an argument to be made, and we're going to discuss. Did the leaky defense have anything to do with this? I mean, Frankie Louvu was awesome, but they gave up, now, 34 points overall, which is the caveman way of looking at it. The defense obviously did not give up 34 points. As a matter of fact, you take 14 immediately off on the two kickoff returns, right? And it's 20 points. But, and that's a somewhat sizable but, Cooper Rush played, I thought, a pretty darn good game. And I think everybody that watched the game thought So 24-32, 247, only was sacked once, two touchdown passes, no interceptions, a rating of 117.6. Rico Dowdell, oh, they can't run the ball. 19 carries, 86 yards. The Cowboy offense, and I said this during the game on Infinity, where I was doing the updates with Pat Boyle, and again, you can listen to that every Sunday on the Odyssey app, Commanders, home games. I obviously do the reports. You know, it's a whip-around show around the NFL, basically Red Zone on radio. It's a good show. You know, I said, look, the Cowboys, if they were going to win this game, they were going to need C.D. Lamb to go off, to go hog wild. And he didn't. He had 12 targets. He had 10 catches. He had 67 yards. Didn't get in the end zone. It was everyone else that took their turn in hurting Joe Witt Jr.'s defense. Everyone else, which we're going to get to here coming up. So at 301-230-0980, at 301-230-0980, or if you want to vote at WrestleMania 621 on the old X machine. But for our purposes here on the radio, over the next 2 hours and 40 minutes, 301-230-0980, we'll rock and roll through as many calls as we can. Who is most to blame? If we accept that special teams in general is one, who is number two? That's probably the better question, but obviously we allow you to have some flexibility to weigh in on what you want to. All right, just getting rocking and rolling and whatnot, Ben Standing style. 122 on the Team 980. It is a misery Motown Monday. We will soldier on. We'll be okay. We'll figure it out. We'll get together and we'll talk about it and we'll feel maybe a little bit better in the end. Not changing anything. A loss is a loss, and it was a horrendous loss in every way that you could possibly label it. There is no feel good, no competitive, no expected, no nothing. On this Monday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Even though it is a misery Monday, it's still a misery Motown Monday in the nation's capital and beyond. On this Thanksgiving week, we should all be thankful. Right, we don't have to deal with Dan Snyder anymore. Got rid of Bruce Allen 4 years ago. Things are still okay. You're still 7-5. Sucks, but you're still 7-5. If we all accept that special teams at large is mostly to blame, which I think we would all accept that special teams was largely to blame. Two kickoff returns for touchdowns, two missed extra points, a missed long field goal, a flubbed onside kick, a kickoff that would have gone out of bounds if Turpin didn't pick it up. Just everything, right? Bad snap. If we all just accept that, right, and say that's number one, which I assume, again, most people will accept, how much responsibility does Dan Quinn and the coaches share? Before we get to the calls, and then therefore the other options, obviously, that I put out on a stupid poll on X is Jaden Daniels. And if you want to expand that, Jaden Daniels in the offense, because that might be two very different answers. I did not think Jaden Daniels was very good for 3.5 quarters yesterday. As a runner, clearly he was back. And you could see that early on. His first two attempts, I think, averaged 11 yards a pop. And he had the 17-yard touchdown scamper. Again, great block in space by Sinnott. Just walloping people. But Jaden still had that. So I think we could put to rest that he ain't healthy, right? Which was never a big thing on this show because we actually talk about other things that matter. But that being said, as a passer yesterday, now he was under a lot of pressure. He was getting blitzed. I thought he was taking off too early. Live. And when I went back and watched some of his throws through the All-22, I mean, again, I cannot deny that he was under pressure more than you'd like. I mean, the Dallas defense was getting after it. And why not? They stink. They're not going anywhere. They're on a short week. They got ambushed. They know they can't just sit back and let the Commanders dictate, especially when they lose Brian Robinson for the entire second half. And he's limited in the first half. He only had 5 carries. Hurt on the first play of the game. Like, what do you have to lose? Crank it up, baby. Throw the kitchen sink at him. They got a couple of guys back, most notably Deron Bland. But they got other guys back, too. Who was the rookie that they got back? The rookie defensive end. I always forget his name. Not Overshown. Overshown had himself a whale of a ball game. Marshawn Nealand. That's who it was. They got Marshawn Nealand back. They got Deron Bland back. They got Jordan Lewis back. He had missed a game. So, I'm totally here to say, look, Jaden Daniels was under pressure. Guess what, guys? Jaden Daniels, you watch any NFL game, any game that has a clue, defenses are trying to do one thing and one thing alone, and that is getting pressure on the quarterback and getting pressure on the quarterback and getting pressure on the quarterback. And some have the philosophy of stopping the run on the way to the quarterback, which is more of a newer age philosophy than the traditional, like, four-man, let's bulk up and bow up and stop the run and make them, you know, and some of that is still good, too. But get to the quarterback. So if we're going to sit here and say every game, hey, Jaden Daniels struggled as a thrower, as a passer, because he didn't have a chance. Yes, a lot of that is fair. But there's got to be context and there's got to be nuance. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples right here. I'm going to give you a couple of examples, then we'll do the trending alert, and then we'll come back and take your calls. One, on the interception that goes in and out of Brian Robinson's hands, like, I totally get B-Rob's got to catch that, hold on to that, what have you. I got to be honest with you. That was an extremely tight window and a play going nowhere. And I would much rather Jaden Daniels say, nope, not for me, dog. I'll throw it over. I'll throw it around. I'll throw it wide. I'll throw it into the dirt. I'll throw it anywhere but where he threw it. Now, again, I'm not saying that Brian Robinson shouldn't have found a way to catch that. But we all know Brian Robinson was going absolutely nowhere. And that play, being thrown where it did and was, had a bigger chance for disaster than any chance of success. Okay? So that's one. Two, remember on Friday and from time to time last week and on Sunday before the game when I did D-Day and Linnell's pregame show, I said, man, I really hope sometime mid-first quarter, late first quarter, after a TV timeout or a turnover, they run a double move. Friday we thought Trayvon Diggs was going to play. We found out he wasn't going to play on Saturday. But I said, run a double move on Deron Bland, first game back, 11 games missed, whatever it is. Or the other young kid, however you get Terry, get him. And that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. It's almost like your boy was in Cliff Kingsbury's head. They get the fumble off of Dowdell. Bobby Wagner, Johnny Newton force it. Officially, Newton's getting credit for it. I thought Wagner caused it too, but maybe I saw it wrong. And immediately, after the turnover, with 30 seconds left in the first quarter, they go up top. Exactly what they should have done. Exactly what this show, the only show that mentioned this and harped on this, said they should and would do. And boom, they had an opportunity. Now, they didn't have great separation. Terry did not have great separation, in my opinion, on Jordan Lewis. Safety was rotating over the top. But Jaden could have found a window and did not. Overthrew it a little bit. A little bit erratic. Tough throw. Not a lot of window, but a big opportunity loss there. And then there was a third play, throw, decision, what have you. And again, I'm not trying to micromanage. I'm just trying to give a couple of examples. He chose to throw to Noah Brown on like a little hook route to his right on, I believe it was a 3rd and 8. And he had Zach Ertz on a hook route over the middle of the field wide open. And, you know, listen, quarterbacks are going to miss stuff, right? And as I pointed out live and on Twitter, whatever, I said, I don't know what his progression is. I don't know what he's supposed to be reading and how he's supposed to be reading it. What I do know is there wasn't a lot of room for Noah Brown to make a play. He didn't. I think it was a contested catch. Some people want to call it a drop. Everybody hates the receivers outside of Terry. They all think, you know, they're terrible. They're not good enough. I'll grant you that. They're not terrible. But the bottom line is those three particular plays stand out in my mind as lost opportunities, kind of baddish decisions, decisions that could have been better. Again, just three examples. I can't give you every example on the radio, but just three to start. Okay? I'm still picking through all the tape and all of that. So Jaden Daniels was not good as a thrower. Even though he was under pressure, even though he was being blitzed, he really was not good. Until the Commanders were down 20-9. With 5 minutes and 15 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. Then he woke up as a passer. And then he was great. But then he woke up. So it's okay for us to say, hey man, Jaden Daniels not the number one problem, but to say that he wasn't a problem because he threw for 275 or whatever the hell he threw for and the great pass to McLaurin and all, fine. But come on now, let's be fair. 54 minutes of that game, there wasn't a lot there from a passing perspective. Again, not all on him, but some of it, and maybe a good part of it, was. Yet people are going to look at 274, two touchdowns, the 86-yard miracle touchdown, if you want to call it a miracle, the 74 yards rushing, the 17-yard touchdown run, and say, oh man, he was great. No, he wasn't. All right, time for a quick trending alert, and then right to your calls. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on a Misery Monday. Let's do the trending alert right here, right now. All right, the New York Jets, well, they were off mercifully yesterday, but they have tabbed executives from the 33rd team, both Mike Tannenbaum and Rick Spielman. You might remember Rick Spielman was involved in the hiring process of Adam Peters and also Dan Quinn to some degree with Josh Harris and Bob Myers back last January here in Washington. Well, they are going to aid the Jets' general manager and head coaching search in the upcoming month plus. We will see where they wind up. Remember Malik Nabers and how good he was in week 2 here in Landover against the Commanders. Well, his rookie season has kind of gone south since then. And yesterday he exploded after a 30-7 blowout loss in the locker room, forcing head coach Brian Daboll to speak with him on Sunday night and again Monday morning after he expressed his frustration with not getting targeted until the second half when the Giants were already down 30-0. The Capitals back in action tonight, and it's yours on 106.7 The Fan. It's the Mentors trip. They're in Florida to take on the defending Stanley Cup champion. That's right, Florida Panthers. Caps losers of 2 in a row since Alex Ovechkin has gone out. Panthers 12-8-1 on the year, and that's what's trending. One thing I wanted to mention before we get back to the or out to the calls, I should say. They were 4 of 12 on third down, the Commanders. Not good, obviously. They only had the ball for a little less than 25 minutes. Again, not good because part of the reason they couldn't convert on third down. But also because they wasted valuable, extremely valuable field possession and opportunities, period. Over and over and over and over again, valuable field position opportunities. Let me give you an example real quick. And probably you remember this. They had these drives that began here in the first half alone. The Dallas 40-yard line after the blocked field goal, they got a field goal out of it. All right, 3 points, okay. It got worse from there. When you start a drive on the 40 of the opponent, you'd like to get a touchdown. They didn't. They got a field goal. And they only got 17 yards on that drive. The Washington 32, not terrible, but not bad, missed field goal. The Dallas 47, after a Dowdle fumble, that was the one that we were mentioning, three and out, punt. The Washington 42, five plays, 17 yards, punt. The Dallas 39, three plays, that's the interception, the one off of Brian Robinson. And then the Washington 16, okay, that's fine. There was another possession. The Washington 40, to start the second half, they scored the touchdown, great. The Washington 45 on their third series of the third quarter, three and out, and a punt. Almost at midfield. So if you take the Washington 45 possession, the Dallas 39, the Washington 42, the Dallas 47, the Washington 32, again, you just want to factor that in, and the Dallas 40, six possessions, they got 3 points. And all six, five of the six would definitely be considered very good field position. The sixth is debatable, Washington 32. Six possessions, five really good field position opportunities, and they got 3 points out of it. Now, that again, that's not all on the quarterback. That's on everybody. I have a feeling most of you are going to be mad at Cliff Kingsbury. Okay, let's talk. 301-230-0980. Let's get out to the phones. And why don't we start with Marcus here? Looks like he's been on hold the longest. Marcus, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, Marcus. What's going on?
I agree wholeheartedly. I will say about 20 minutes ago, I didn't. But after hearing it and then after kind of playing it back in my head, the offense was a lot to blame today. But I also want to say that, you know, because we know what our offense can do and how explosive it can be, mm-hmm. we were really upset at the offense and you know, the missed opportunities, the decisions by Jaden. But, I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't give – a slither of credit to the Dallas defense.
Sure.
And I hate Dallas with
sure.
a passion, but they played
yes.
really good defense.
Yes.
And with the exception of those final 3 minutes,
mm-hmm.
it this game, the way that defense played this game reminds me of how we played against Pittsburgh, how we played against Philly, and the reaction was, you know, we played really good up until that end. And I don't hear a lot of people crediting Dallas's defense because they know what we can do. But at the end of the day, any given Sunday, Dallas defense, they stepped up and they executed well.
No, I think that's a really good point. And I sort of tried to make it earlier. Maybe I didn't do as good of a job as you just did. But you're absolutely right. I mean, they got a couple of big guys back, and most notably, they got one of their top corners, Deron Bland, back. But now Diggs right. also was out. They got Jordan Lewis back, their slot corner, and they got their second-round pick, Marshawn Nealand, back. So that helped, okay? But still, they were on a short
100%.
Week, travel, all of that stuff. They gave up 140-some-odd yards rushing, which was near their league, their season average, right? So
the
they
average,
weren't great
yeah, yeah.
there. But, you know, like, they did a really good job on the back end, and I cited one of the examples, the long ball that Jordan Lewis took away, the angle on, you know, again, it would have required a perfect pass to Terry late in the first quarter. That's a perfect example of, hey, man, the Commanders hit that play a couple of times earlier in the year. Now, they missed it once or twice, too, but they hit that play several times or something similar to that. And in this particular case, they weren't able to take the lid off the defense. So I think it's a, you know, I think it's an absolutely astute point. And here's the other thing, Marcus. You know this. I know this. I'm not sure if everybody else knows this. They get paid, too. You know,
like
they've got some pride,
like we
too.
Expected them to just lay down. Yeah. And I'm like, they came to play football, and it, you know, they got some big guys back, but still, you know, Trayvon Van out. But it was the next man up mentality, which is why, and I understand, I trust me when I tell you, I understand the problems that we have when B-Rob is out, but I have a problem. I hate having to blame him because there are other guys on our roster that get paid to play football. So
I hear you. I hear you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. I got to move on. I appreciate it, but it's a good call to get us going. I appreciate you. Let's go to Raymond in Capitol Hills next. Capitol Heights, sorry, on the Team 980. Raymond, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm at work right down the street from the stadium, actually.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Chris, I called in last Friday, and we didn't have a lot of time, and I said that I was mad when they put him in to play against the Bears because I said he was a Rolls Royce. And I said, you know, when you got a busted tire on your Rolls Royce, you put it in the shop, and you don't pull it out until it's fixed. Mm-hmm. And then you drive around your Toyota Tundra, your F-250 until your Rolls Royce is ready to go. And he's a rookie. He can't play hurt and be a rookie and direct the NFL team all at once.
Did you think? I'm being honest. Did you think he was hurt yesterday?
Well, let me explain. Okay, like I study spirituality a lot, right? And I've led men in the battle. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we were 19-0, you know, dealing. And it wasn't football is easy compared to what we had to deal with. Okay, but when you put, of course, Jaden wants to play, right?
Right.
But he's hurt. So by not putting Mariota in, who had a 121 quarterback rating coming in cold against the Panthers. Mm-hmm. You're not showing brotherhood and love and trust towards Mariota because you're catering to, if you remember at that time, Chris, Jaden was a diva. He had become a diva because everybody in the country thought he was the greatest thing in the world. So your head can get big. I don't know if you've ever led men, but when you got one of your guys that's getting his head blown up by all the accolades and all of that.
Wait, I'm confused. When was Jaden a diva? I'm confused on that.
What I'm saying is that he was getting too much praise.
Yeah, but that wasn't his fault.
No, but follow me. I always knew it was the leadership and the coach, the coaching staff that has made the Redskins successful. It's not Jaden. And so Mariota was a perfect opportunity to show the world and show Jaden that it's the coaching staff that's making you successful.
Okay.
It's not you.
All right.
That's making you successful.
Let me hop in on that, and I appreciate the phone call because I got to hit the break, but I'll comment on it here. I understand where you're going with that, Raymond. I don't know what men you've led and, you know, all that stuff, and I'm a nice guy and all that. This show is the wrong show if we're going to say that success or failure on the field has nothing to do with the players. It's just the wrong show. I'll never believe that, never in a million years. Like, you want to blame the coaches? You want to give credit to the coaches? I'm fine. But 100% or anything even close? No. And the other part is, I don't know how anybody could say Jaden has operated like a diva. That part I don't get. Yes, Mariota played well once he got going against Carolina, a terrible team. Maybe Dallas, terrible. Yesterday, I'm telling you, yesterday, I watched. There was no chance that Jaden was injured or hurt or bruised or banged up or hurting or whatever. He wouldn't have ran the way he did and operated the way he did. You could say that against Philadelphia, and get away with it. You couldn't, I don't think, yesterday against Dallas. 151. Take a quick time out. Come on back. Wrap up hour number one and get more of your calls in at 301-230-0980. Stay with us on the Team 980.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, it is a Misery Monday. Right back to the calls so we can get as many of you guys in as we can. Why don't we go to our guy, Ath, in Annapolis, AA. How are you, pal?
I wish I was better, but, you know, it's just disappointing because Dallas didn't throw their fastball at us. They had a lot of players missing yesterday, and we still found a way to lose, and it's just a total team loss. Some areas more than others, but, I mean, you mentioned it. Blocked a field goal. Block a punt, cause a turnover, all that great field position, and you have 3 points at the end of the first half, and we just allowed them to stay around. And Matt made a great point when I called in and said that, you know, on the games we've won, we've scored so many points in the first half. So shout out to my boss Matt Essig for that. And then you got also, though, the
he's my boss too. He's my boss
yesterday.
Too. He's my boss too.
Oh, Matt's the man. Yeah. Matt is the king. But the fourth quarter stats, we've been outscored 40-plus points in the fourth quarter. So when you don't score anything in the first half and then you're not get outscored in the second half, it's just a recipe to fail. I mean, the defense, just like in the Eagles game, how long were we supposed to hold them? Mm-hmm. Dallas did everything they could. Dallas did everything they could to give us that game. And, I mean, if people want to talk about coaches, okay, I mean, with 10 days to prepare, I think it could have been better. But who's out there dropping the passes? Who's out there missing the blocks? Who's out there and couldn't rush the passer yesterday? Well, you know, Deron Payne, you know, should have abused that offensive line with Zach Martin missing. They had a rookie center and rookie left tackle. They just didn't get it done. They found a way to lose, and Dallas had their Super Bowl against us yesterday.
I think they were double-teaming, you know, Payne, you know, quite a bit from what I could see. I don't have the exact numbers. I don't know if Next Gen has that up or not. I'll try and find that down. But to your point, 121-84, they've been outscored combined cumulatively in the fourth quarter. 121-84. I mean, they've run circles around teams for the first three quarters cumulatively, and in the fourth quarter they've been outscored by 37 points. So, to me, that's a sign of not having enough depth. You know, and not having like an assassin show up when you need them the most. Not that they don't. I mean, Luvu, sure. Well, you know, maybe that'll change when Marshon Lattimore can finally play. I don't know.
But here's the thing people got to remember that are out here, you know, boo-hooing everything. Jaden doesn't have the supporting cast on offense or defense mm-hmm. that Jalen Hurts does,
sure.
or even the defense that Russell Wilson has. People have to understand the cupboards were completely bare.
Yep.
33 new players on this team. The guy is 12 games into his career, and I love B-Rob, but they should have used McNichols more yesterday or tried to run the ball more. Either way, we're on the right trajectory. And if they miss the playoffs, it would be truly disappointing because I think the games are very winnable. But what people got to remember after yesterday is very simple. We can play with anybody, but everybody else can also play with us because of how much we lack at talent. So we'll see what happens here.
No doubt. And it's also, again, depth. And it's just finding somebody to make a big-time play when you need it the most. And they got that out of Terry and Jaden yesterday, but it still wasn't enough because they got themselves in a hole. And then, obviously, the whole special teams operation stunk. Double A, appreciate you, as always. More of your calls coming straight ahead. Jay Gruden, an hour or so from right now, in his normal Monday 3 o'clock spot, on a misery Monday in the nation's capital and beyond on the Team 980. And we're always live and free on the Odyssey app.